This meeting is now being recorded.
Thanks. So welcome back, everyone. We had booked this call last week to try and start picking up on some of the items that we have outstanding after all the frantic activity to get the documents out for public comment. Thanks again for your efforts there. We haven't received any public comments yet, or we hadn't yesterday when I checked with Jennifer, so we don't have anything to discuss in that regard, but we did have a bunch of items that we sort of parked in an effort to get the documents out the door. So I wanted to pick up on those. And the first one was in the community agreement. So if we could pull that up, not that we need to really look at the document, but I know that at kind of at the last minute there before the documents went out, there was a bunch of discussion around the names community signatory, and I'm it's in bracketed text in the document, so we're going to have to figure something out finally one way or the other, and wanted to get an update from the names community folks about that topic and how the discussions are going in the CWG about that. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to speak this now. We had the discussion at the CWG meeting today, and it was at a very unsociable hour for most U.S. participants. Difficult to say where it was bad. I don't recall that you were on the call, Alyssa. It was a horrible time. Can I just confirm whether you were or not?
I did not join. I think it was like at 3 o'clock in the morning in my time zone or something. So yeah. I skipped.
It wasn't good. Okay, so we had the discussion and Sibley prepared for us a memo which essentially provided five prospective options for signatory. And we went through those and in essence boiled it down to probably two credible options, with one being the most viable, and one is ICANN. So ICANN is comfortably the front runner, and the next stage in the process is that maybe that's not quite the correct terminology. Maybe I'm a bit slapdash there. ICANN is currently the front runner, and I from the base of the memo and the discussion, it feels most likely that that will be the outcome. And on the back of that, the plan is to look at what other issues that throws up in terms of any constraints that should be placed on that situation and how it should be managed. And so we're actively working on a solution which currently looks likely to be ICANN. So if that doesn't sound like deliberate doublespeak, it's not. It's just cautious respecting the different opinions and perspectives that might, exist or yet to be voiced. But we're going down a road, and I think it seems like there's reasonable progress being made in parallel with this public comment here. So I hope that gives some insight, and I can expand if necessary.
Thanks, Jonathan. That is very helpful in terms of status update. Do folks have any questions or comments about that? So I myself have one question. Oh, go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, thanks. So I think one thing that hasn't been clear to me in this is whether this makes a change for other parts of the agreement, and in particular, like, do we have to care about the fact that ICANN would be signing on behalf of the names community, but it isn't actually the names community here, and so then there are these parts where the names community instructs us to do things, but that's not the party to the agreement. And I guess I'm just wondering what that does.
Thanks, Andrew. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I'm not sure I can give a full answer, but I can make some. I mean, in essence, that was the follow-up question, Andrew and others, to Sidley is, okay, so let's say we go down the route with ICANN. What are the next steps? What are the other things we need to consider? And, for example, a universal consideration across all options was who and by what process will we select the CCG representatives? But there are sort of various bits and pieces that we need to work through. So, but I won't speak to what I don't. My sense is that it doesn't have knock-on implications for others. It's a matter of the names community figuring out how that representation takes place and what sort of collateral or coincident issues that creates and solving for those. That's where I think we're at. And I see Josh has put up his hand, so he may well be able to help a little more here. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I actually had the very similar question, given the way that names community is, you know, currently defined in the text that we're looking at on the screen. So that's good to know that those issues are being worked. Go ahead, Alan.
Thanks. This is Alan. I haven't heard any concerns within the numbers community about ICANN signing on behalf of the names community. So I think that would be fine. The names community might want to put something in the community agreement to say perhaps that in its role as a signatory of the community agreement, ICANN should pay attention to the needs of the names community more than it pays attention to any of its other roles. Now, I don't know how to say that, and I think that's up to the names community to figure out if they want to do it at all.
Thanks, Alan. Josh?
Yeah, just to to build on both what Jonathan said and what Alan just said, there will have to be some thought given, and we're helping to sort of develop that and explore that with CWG to the instruction that will need to be provided to ICANN. It's going to, in the way that, you know, ISOC sometimes acts as the signatory for the IETF in contracts, ICANN will act as a signatory here, but will take direction both sort of in how we appoint the CCG representatives and in, you know, the, how it's supposed to, how those representatives are to communicate and defer to sort of the interests of the community. The good thing is that with respect to sort of the major issue or, you know, that could be there, which would be a potential transition away from ICANN, if the IANA service provider needed to be replaced for the names community, that's not a process that will be interfered with by the fact that ICANN would be the signatory here. There is a sort of a robust process for escalation and dispute resolution through that's ensconced in the ICANN bylaws with respect to the names community and others. And if at the end of the day the empowered community, if there's a recommendation that separation be proceed and the empowered community does not, you know, reject that, then that will go forward. And the CCG representatives, you know, and the names community signatory here, in this case of ICANN, would just be relaying that notice to the IETF Trust and wouldn't, you know, be making any decision or voting against any decision in that regard at this level.
Thank you, Josh. Anyone else have questions or thoughts on this item? Okay. Sounds like it's well in hand. We'll get another update from the names folks when that is ready. So we'll bring that back on a future call. Let's move to the next one, which was outstanding items in the license agreement. I had sort of scrolled through when I was making the agenda, and I had seen two of these. The first one is that the definition of the names community, sort of related to the last point, the definition of the names community in the license agreement is TBD. So, again, just wanted to kind of get a status update from the names folks on how that's going. I imagine it might have some interplay with the signatory conversation, but if there's a status update to offer there, then go ahead. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Thanks, Alyssa. I'm actually not that confident in my answer. I wouldn't mind some support from Greg or Josh on this. As far as I recall, this is not controversial. We've essentially accepted that draft definition, and so it'd be helpful to be reminded by either or Greg if they are aware if this remains an open item. So that's great. Greg, I'll defer to you.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. Greg Chatton, for the record. My first answer is in the chat, but more seriously, there are two issues here. One is defining the names services, which we did come up with a scratch definition for, which was accepted. That goes back in the schedule. And the names community itself, in terms of having a definition that parallels that of the numbers community, which identifies itself as the NRO, and the protocol parameters community, which I don't have scroll control, so I can't see what it is offhand. Probably the IETF is to find, you know, something that is similar to that. So it really relates to the signatory question, but it's not, because can't really define the names community as I can, in the same way as we could have it act as a signatory on behalf of the names community. So I think it really is kind of TBD, and not technical buyers of Domains, Inc. We did have some discussion of this on the call that happened last night for me, 2 to 4 a.m. So it did not I would say the stage was set for a conversation of that, of what is the names community as such. And one of the ideas that's starting to take shape is an entity or not a non-entity, that is a committee of some sort that would direct ICANN to the extent that a shell is needed, like the Internet Society acts as a signer for the IETF, that would kind of have some reality to it, and that could be the names community's kind of space or place for speaking for the names community. But this is very midstream at this point. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, that's part of why I wanted us to just chat about it a little bit today, because and Josh makes a good point about there being nothing for the names community to sign in this agreement. And the way that my brain kind of processed this is that I sort of looked at the signatory issue and then, you know, sort of thought through, okay, so if I can't the signatory, does that have any implications on any of these agreements or, you know, on the other communities, in particular the IETF? And I don't think it really does. But then just looking down, you know, the termination provisions for anything that the community agreement says about termination really just defers to the license agreement. So then you go look at the license agreement, and it is the names in the license agreement, it is the names community who directs the trust, or not directs, but, you know, tells the trust that they think a license should be terminated, at which point I was like, oh, who's the names community? And then it says TBD. So you need exactly what, as, you know, what Greg said, it needs to be defined who is going to give the direction, because if it's ICANN, you know, why would ICANN direct? But why would ICANN tell the trust to cancel its own license? And you sort of end up in that circle. So it's good that there's work to be done, but obviously in this very question has consumed a vast amount of time in the whole transition process. And so I hope there's a way to get to a kind of speedy resolution to say who is the NAMES community. I see a lot of people typing. Anyone else have thoughts to share on this? Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, so again, I think it in a way, it comes down to a lot of this comes down to who is designated to be the CCG representatives for the NAMES community and the process that we're, you know, the community is going to have to develop and agree on for those persons to be put forward by ICANN on its behalf under the community agreement. But again, the issue that you mentioned on termination is one in which there isn't much discretion. ICANN would be, or perhaps the CCG representatives, and maybe we can make that a little bit more clear, talking about, you know, if the NAMES community through its CCG representatives certifies in writing, something like that in this document. Even though ICANN is, in a sense, conveying the message that it is being replaced as the service provider, that's already been decided through the whole dispute resolution process and, and with the participation of the EC. So, it may kind of appear awkward on paper, but I don't know that it, in fact, you know, in actual fact practice, that it'll play out in a way that's awkward. I think the message will be communicated by those representatives to the IETF Trust, and then the IETF Trust would take the appropriate action. So whether we say that ICANN is the NAMES community, you know, acting on behalf of the NAMES community, represents the NAMES community here in this agreement, it doesn't matter because they're still going to be, if at the end of the day they end up being the signatory, it'll be to the community agreement, they'll be the ones indirectly at least relaying the message of their own replacement if that happens at the end of the process.
Yep, that makes sense, Josh. Thanks. Greg, go ahead.
Probably not too much more to add, Greg, again, but I think there is more flexibility. And, you know, Alan Barrett in the chat asked, how wrong would it be to say NAMES community equals some list of ICANN subsets, including at least CCNSO and GNSO? It's probably the right way to formulate the question about, you know, how wrong.
There's no absolutely right one, at least yet defined. But since it's not, you know, a party signatory, you know, the message could be delivered by the CCG representatives in that regard, and not doesn't necessarily have to be delivered by a legal entity.
Yes, that does seem to be the sort of cleanest and easiest way out, since that is already defined in the other agreement. Any other thoughts, questions, comments on this one? Okay. So, again, thank you for the update, and glad people are thinking about this, and we'll get another update when there is one. So then the other items, which I'm not sure folks on the trust should let me know if we should defer the other items, which were about arbitration. I don't know if George wanted to be present for those. He didn't say, but he's obviously not here today. In 7.4, there were a couple of TBDs around the number of arbitrators and the location of arbitration. And I see Sam in the queue. Go ahead, Sam.
Thanks, Melissa. seeing George's note from yesterday, I can confirm we haven't had an opportunity between ICANN and the Trust to further that conversation. I think I would recommend we defer reporting back to this group on it so that we can have conversations once George is back and able to have discussions, and we'll work to get something on our calendars early next week so that we can start moving this issue forward.
Okay.
Or the couple of issues that you've noted as open items in the license agreement that we can negotiate.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Was just wondering about the status. Anyone else on those? That sounds like a reasonable plan to me. Greg, I think, is your hand still up from before? Okay. So the next item is timing for CCG member appointments. So we had in the mix with all of the conversations about finalizing the documents for public comment, we had a little bit of discussion about, does the CCG need to be constituted when the agreements are signed, and that's not a lot of time, and probably maybe all of the communities would need more time than that. So we deferred that until now. So I would say the floor is sort of open for the various community people to comment on what they think their timing will be for making these appointments, if they have a process, if they haven't thought about it, or if they have. It would be good to try and, I think, collectively define when we expect the CCG to be constituted. Alan, go ahead.
So the NRO has not formally made a decision about how to constitute the CCG. But in my opinion, we will probably be ready around the time the agreement is signed at the end of September.
I'm sorry, Alan. I think at least I lost your audio there at the end. Can you just repeat the last thing that you said?
Sorry, let me speak closer to the microphone. The NRO has not formally made a decision, but in my personal opinion, we will probably be ready around the end of September when the agreement is signed.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful to know. Andrew, go ahead.
Thanks. The way that the IETF does this is that the IAB normally appoints any of these kind of external things, and the IAB normally has to take comments for that, and we gotta, you know, request volunteers and so on. And it isn't obvious to me that that we could do all of that actually in time to make this happen, given the short time we have, before the agreements are signed. Because of course the IAB couldn't start doing it until it was clear that was the way things were going to work, and until we've got something that is finished, it would be premature for the IAB to start doing that. So I'm a little nervous about how we do it. I mean, if we had to, we could, but it did seem to me that the spirit of this was sort of that we'd allow the various communities to do their own thing, and to run their processes according to how they want, and then CCG could set up its procedures and so on. So it still feels to me like we're going to have a difficult time having this completely constituted when the transition happens.
Thanks, Andrew. Alan, are you back in the queue?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. Ted, go ahead. Ted, we cannot hear you. Maybe we should go to Russ and then come back to Ted. Go ahead, Russ.
I just wanted to remind Andrew that when ICANN decided to re-stand up the technical liaison group, what we did in order to meet the timeline there is we appointed some seated IAB members as interim and then ran the process. And it took us a couple months, but then we were able to name permanent people and take that additional duty off the shoulders of the IAB folks. So if we had to, we could do something like that.
Thanks, Russ, and I see Andrew agreeing with you. Ted, are you able to come back in? Doesn't sound like it. Can't hear you, Ted. Why don't we try Yari?
Yes, thank you. So I do agree that it's tight. I suppose various kinds of interim solutions could be devised if needed. My question is maybe how badly is that needed? Like, you know, the group will provide advice to the trust. You know, when do you actually provide advice? Hopefully they're not going to tell us, you know, take away the license from here and give it over there on the first day. So it's not entirely clear to me that the group needs to be constituted from day one. But I could go on.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Yari. If we tried to do some sort of interim thing, what would those people do really, and is that necessary? So we heard some things from numbers and protocol parameters. We did not hear from names. I know we obviously just talked about that names, discussing how to establish the process of getting people appointed. But in terms of the timing, is it safe to assume that that would go longer than, you know, would go beyond the end of September? And also, if the names folks have any opinions about interim type of thing, Jonathan, go ahead.
Phyllis, I don't have an opinion now. It's an interesting suggestion, and I think I would put the interim solution in our collective back pocket. But if there are any developments on that, let's keep informed about that. I would think, given the pace at which we're able to work, and there seems to be a pretty reasonable recognition that we need to get the job done, and that this work has to be completed by the known deadline. So I would be reasonably optimistic that we could work our way through this. I mean, we're meeting weekly, and we've got four or five meetings to go to sort this out. So I would think I'd be reasonably optimistic that we can sort out the representation as part of the overall solution. But we haven't talked about an interim measure at this stage.
Okay. Thanks. That's helpful. I think, I mean, the other thought just to keep in mind is that it's only interim in the sense that as that's defined within each community, because the whole appointment process is under the direction of each community itself. So, and people can be replaced anytime. So, I think it's not like we're calling this the interim CCG. It's just, if people's own processes allow for that and they think they can accommodate that and we think that having people seated by the end of September is important, then that's the information that we need to know, I think. So, okay, Ted, let's try again. Go ahead. Ted, we do not hear you. Might need to use the chat. Having some audio problems. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like there is at least an interest and or a potential strategy in each community to have people seated, even if those are considered interim people, by September 30. So, perhaps we should sort of provisionally establish that as the goal, and then people can have some more conversations over the next week, and we can discuss it again on the next chat. But we can sort of put that marker down for now. Ted, are you coming back in to audio? I see. So we have in the chat is that you think interim is the wrong formulation, and that we can make appointments and set deadlines for new appointments. I agree in terms of the formulation thing. I mean, as I said, the fact of the matter is that all of these appointments are completely up to the communities themselves, and the people can be replaced at any time at the will of those communities. So I think the bottom line question is, can the communities find people to put in those seats by September 30 if we think that's something that's important to do? And then if those people get replaced on short order because that's what a community wanted to do, then that's up to that community. Okay. And Ted says he thinks the ITF and IAB could do that. Okay. So let's say provisionally we think we are interested and potentially capable of having a full CCG seated by September 30. And we know that the membership may change at any time, including not too long after that. And we'll revisit this again after people have more community discussions. Any further thoughts on that? Okay, then I think we can move on to the next item, which is the approach to the establishment of CCG operating procedures. This is, again, something that came up during discussion of the agreements, and we decided to defer because it wasn't totally pressing. And I think there were a couple of different ideas about this, or maybe a sort of spectrum of ideas in terms of how much of the CCG's operating procedures around, meetings, quorum, consensus, so on and so forth, needed to be defined in advance versus how much could be defined by the CCG itself once it gets seated or some other way. And I know there is a provision in the community agreement that says something about what the CCG is supposed to do at its first meeting. I don't think it fully scopes out all of these procedures, but there are some words in there, so maybe if we could pull that back up, that would be good. But we had said we wanted to chat about this again, so it's back on the agenda, and I see Andrew in the queue. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thanks. Yeah, so the original, you remember agreement in principle we were working on, that didn't have anything about this. And at the ITF meeting in Buenos Aires, we got some comment that the initial meeting should, specify these things, what quorum would be and all the rest of it. And everybody seemed to agree to that, so we added it in one of the versions. But I don't know how widely that was circulated. Anyway, the idea did seem to be, at least my understanding of what we were talking about was that, we were gonna, leave all of this for the CCG to do itself at the beginning, and we weren't gonna try to specify it all. So we're gonna change that, I sort of feel like we need,
I think I lost Andrew there at the end, but I think we got most of it, which is that here, as we have on the screen, let's see, what paragraph is this? This is 2.4 in the community agreement, if people want to scroll. Actually, we are not looking at the community agreement. We're looking at the license agreement. It's coming up. But, you know, basically what the community agreement says is that the CCG will establish its own procedures at its first meeting, which seems reasonable to me, you know, thinking about the ITF side. But I think people had perhaps raised that they weren't sure about that, which is why it came back up again. And Andrew's point is that he had thought this was already decided. So if anybody thinks it's not already decided and done, then we can get in the queue. Otherwise, we can consider it done as expressed in 2.4 of the community agreement, and we can move on. Okay, seeing no one in the chat, I think everyone is comfortable with 2.4, and we can consider that closed. So the CCG will define its operating procedures, as the community agreement suggests. Okay, great. Well, that is the substance that we had planned for today. And then the last thing we have is future call scheduling. So I do think this was useful to just get a quick update from people and conclude on a few things. Obviously, we will have more to discuss when we have public comments, but we don't have any, and we probably won't have them for a while, given that it's August. So we have a couple of choices. We could – I mean, my thinking, honestly, was that we doodle for – meeting. I mean, we could doodle for a weekly meeting from now until at least for the next 3 weeks, something like that. If people find this check-in useful, and if we think we will have things to discuss, obviously we will have some to discuss for next time that we held from this time because of George's absence at the minimum. So that was my thinking, was we could doodle for each of the next 3 weeks. And then if it turns out in a particular week we don't have anything, we can cancel. Any objections to that? Okay. Seem supportive of that. So if the staff could take an action item to send out one doodle for each of the next 3 weeks, we'll find a one-hour slot for those weeks. And Jonathan says this sort of this kind of slot on Thursday is good because it's after the CWG meeting. So we should definitely include those times in the doodle and try to prioritize that if we can. And I figure we need to doodle because of vacation schedules and whatnot. So okay. Anything else? Okay, great. Well, thanks everyone. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks all.
Thank you.